Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another live crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself, the King of King that's still coronavirus free right now. I am the Hot Rod, and I have the virus himself with me on the air right now.
My name is not Cyrus. It is Sean Black in the building once again.
So you really are a virus to me. And on the other line,
and
I have a person who's a bigger
idiot.
Of course. But on the other line, I have a person who's a bigger threat to me than the coronavirus. I give you the lovely and talented lady to you.
Why have to be all that? What's up, y'all?
What? That was a nice introduction I gave you.
No, that was so not. That sounded so mean.
Me?
And you're surprised at this?
Me never.
But, this is going to be one of those shows, I can just tell.
Oh, well.
Here we go.
We talking about coronavirus, okay.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the number, 347-989-8402. Let's get right into it. Oh, man. I know Lacey will go out and she will say, I told you so. What? You did? Okay. Lacey, go ahead. You told me so, right?
I told you so.
I'm not going to lie. I thought this topic would be like this last week. We talk about it for a few minutes and leave it alone. But no. It's just out of nowhere, ladies and gentlemen. The virus is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, once again, I have to ask this question before we get full details to Sean Black and AT. Is this an overhyped situation?
Not at all.
Why do you say so?
Just due to the stats and due to the fact that they have nothing to combat this yet at all, not even an antibiotic or anything. So that raises, you know, a few red flags, and I don't think they're telling us everything all at once, because then we'll have more shelves and more fighting over tissue paper and more fighting over Lysol wipes going on in these stores. So I don't know.
I want to ask you a question, Lady T. Do you expect this administration to tell you everything that you need to know when they continue to act like, you know, this is nothing more than just a flu or a cold, or the sniffles? You know, there's almost 4,000 people dead, or close to 4,000 people have died.
Yeah,
from
and worldwide. That's the thing. And don't forget, let's not forget, it's a step above the flu. At least we have something for the flu, allegedly. You understand what I'm saying? So I really think I don't expect too much from them, but I don't know. People have to really take control of this country right now, because I don't know what's going on.
So,
and there's go ahead.
No, basically, you guys are saying that our government, besides the Trump or the mayor, they tell you not to take the New York City subway, even though that's like totally impossible in New York City. Are you guys saying that our government are not doing a good job handling this crisis?
I think they have unrealistic plans in place. Like today, for instance, I've seen the mayor speak. Wonderful. But he was anxious to reveal his something, I guess he said, New York City put together better than Purell is how he described it, the hand sanitizer and so forth. So I looked at that as are we marketing right now? I got thrown really, really, really like thrown off. So it looked like he was just so anxious, asking the reporters, can you guess what's behind this curtain? Can you guess? Like, this is not the time to play. That's my point that I'm making. So it's better than Purell, so you just marketed it. And then you said on top of that, Purell, Amazon, and all these other companies do not overprice people. Okay, we get that. He reveals it. He said it's better than. He rubs them on his hand. Smells floral, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know if it was a commercial for this product, you know? But then he says it's only for the schools, the prisons, certain hospitals, They're going to make sure and take care of Westchester, New Rochelle area, being that they're, you know, the most highly
And you know the number one thing that they care about are the prisons.
Well, they really don't. They really don't. But, okay, well, that's another topic.
You can hear the sarcasm in my voice on that one.
Yeah, I know I heard it, Sean. Trust me.
I'm not gonna lie. You guys threw me off for a second. I'm like,
I totally caught it. So it's just like, is it a marketing scheme now for this thing that we can't even buy it because he said it's going to be extremely, extremely high priced? Then why market it? Why tell us? Just use it.
Well, I think we know the entirety of this of what's going on right now. First of all,
mm-hmm.
we know that the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, and the president are almost in some kind of it sounds like a blood feud. Every time something happens with New York legislatively, when they need to actually ask the White House for some kind of help, there seems to always be some kind of marionette strings attached to something.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with you with that.
Are you surprised by that? Are you surprised?
It's expected because we know how this administration treats other fellow Democrats that are around, that are in positions, especially in places like New York or California,
especially
in
New
places
York,
that are hugely Democratic, where
mm-hmm.
they need certain things to happen. So
excuse me, Sean Black. So you're saying that the administration is playing with people's lives right now because for political reasons, or because, you know, I don't like you, you don't like me. They put people's lives at risk because of their egos.
Yes.
I thought it was already put in place when they put Pence in place of this, but he can't really speak on it. That scared me.
Here's the crazier part. The president of the United States could have potentially been exposed to the coronavirus on Friday because he was at the CDC in Atlanta. I believe it was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And shook hands with someone who was exposed to the virus. And any time you hear the president talk about this virus, he downplays it as if, one of the things he said was, first, you can go to work with it. It's mild. Then he said something along the lines of, I have a hunch. What his exact words? I have a hunch that the CDC is wrong as far as how major this stuff is. The last time I checked, as far as John Hopkins is concerned, there's over 100,000 cases. Close to 4,000 people are already dead. New cases in every state, everywhere. Italy
Let's
has
not forget about
been
the ship that
down.
Just came in from Oakland today.
Yes.
Oakland.
And there were,
about
there were
that.
Tons of people potentially exposed to that. Italy,
mm-hmm.
as a country, has been completely on
shut
lockdown.
Down.
So they have nothing going
on. How can
on.
You shut down a country?
You can't. You want to know how you do that? You can shut down a country if you actually have leadership at the head of the area, basically looking on everywhere and basically saying in lockstep with the people that are there, this for right now, until we can clear whatever is going on up, until we know more and we can make sure that we help get things taken care of, we don't want to continue the spread of this pandemic potentially. So that's
mm-hmm.
how you do it. They are coordinated.
Well,
the administration here in the United States is not coordinated because they continue to get in each other's way. We don't know what's going on. Ben Carson is saying one thing just because he's a doctor.
I don't want him to say anything.
You're
a neurologist, but you're in charge of public health, and just don't say anything. Don't talk to
me. And you would think that because he's a doctor, he would be the person you would want to turn to, and he sounds
mm-hmm.
just as moronic as some of the other people that have gone out there and said misinformation.
And a top neurologist.
He called the Trump virus. That's why he can't think anymore. He got the Trump virus. Hello.
Don't forget we have Ted Cruz quarantined also right now. He doesn't know if he has it yet, but he wants to take precautions. Great.
I'm sorry, the president of the Port Authority in New York City,
yes.
a very old man, he caught the coronavirus as well.
Caught it.
Of
yeah,
the
exactly.
Port Authority, where all the trains and buses are running. He's not even safe from that.
And some of his staff may. They want to test them as well, yes.
And what makes it worse is the fact that we don't have anywhere near the amount of tests available to make sure that people that have been either exposed to it or may have been exposed to it don't actually pass it on to others that have not. And this is part of the problem that this administration has been dealing with. And what we've seen President Trump do is he's trying to assuage the economic side, where we've seen in the last week the stock market go up and down and up and down. Today the stock market dropped 2,000 points, which is the biggest drop since 2008. We're seeing oil prices sink, $34 a barrel, which is the lowest it has been in, I believe, 4 or 5 years. It's been a long time since it's been there. The way things are going right now, the price of gasoline for those that drive and get gas, give it a month. Price of gas is going to probably drop to about $2 a gallon. But the problem with that is, in what the president actually tweeted, he said something along the lines of, it's going to help the customers. The consumer will be the ones that are out there that are going to benefit from this. How are they going to benefit if they're trying to tell you not to travel because of this pandemic? So,
well, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I went online today to see if I could book some airline tickets to fly out, and prices has dropped in a good way. But this is the time I have no money, so I can't buy any tickets.
But it's also
right now,
in a good way with a high risk. Good way and a high risk. Are you going to compromise your health to go see another state, or what you going to do? And you may not make it back to New York.
Well, you know me very well. I feel like it is. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not saying, like I told people in the office, I have to live my life. I'm not saying I'm not going to get it. But you know what? You go outside the door every day, there's always a 50-50 chance you're not coming back to home, or you get hit by a car, or get shot, or whatever. I just take it one day at a time and just live by the moment and try not to be afraid. I like other
of
people.
Of course, you should take the precautions.
You and I have been washing our hands for a long time. Now it took a
while. Yeah, I know. People
media.
Act like it's a new thing with this. I can't with that.
And that's what I don't understand. Like, you need a media to tell you to wash your hands. You have announcements in New York City subway, wash your hands for 20 seconds. And there's even signs. Like in my workplace, there's a sign on the wall where you wash your hands. If you sing this lyrics to a song, to Beyonce, that's equal to 20 seconds to the lyrics. So you're like, you tell me that people don't know how to count up to 20?
Here's also the thing that you have to also realize is that the way society, especially police authorities and ones that have control, usually aren't proactive when it comes to preventing something. They only react when something does happen. Similar to if there was a terrorist attack, like remember back when there was the London bombings? Now, we know that New York, California, those are places in the United States that would be targets in some kind of, you would think, logically, would be potential places if somebody wanted to start something. Usually, you would think that those would have all of their arms up and they'd have protection and things in place. It wasn't until after the bombings that people in the New York area, the police and the feds, actually started doing something. So it's like, why are you waiting for something to happen overseas before you start to do something now when something should have been in place here before then? And this is what we're starting to see with this coronavirus. What's been going on? If a country can shut down way before we start hearing about certain things happening in the United States, you would think somebody would take some kind of precaution, some kind of usually that's what the government is supposed to have in place. And we haven't heard about any of this stuff. Even now, we're starting to hear trickles. Nothing seems to stick because nobody seems to have the same story.
I feel like that's because they also have the wrong people in place that's in charge of that, in charge of releasing information, in charge of, you know, making certain final decisions.
Well,
they don't have the right people in the health or CDC. We have our vice president who, when he comes on, he doesn't know what he wants to say about this, and he doesn't want to say too much about this. That doesn't tell me anything.
Remember all of those people that were actually in a place to do these things, the current administration mm-hmm. has gotten rid of because they've been deregulating so many policies around that the people that were in place that knew what they were doing are now not there. There's so much turnover and so many more important parts of the government that you can't really ask one person something and then actually think that they'll be there by the end of the week because they might be gone.
Well,
you know, this is the era we live in now.
Calm down, Sean. Calm down. Run for president or something. You want to make a change around here? Come on. Geez.
I am actually calm.
Relax. I'm like,
I'm
sure,
actually just waiting
for
November 2020 to place my vote. Sorry.
Well, you know, this time now, and we say this all the time over the years. You know, make a change. As you see right now, well, from what you guys are saying, there's not no true leadership going on right now. There's chaos over the world, and America is still scratching their head of what to do. My thing is, how is upstate New York, what is it, Westchester, or wherever they have the most cases right now?
Yeah, yeah. Westchester, New Rochelle area.
Like I told Sean earlier, how is it one guy affected all these people at one time? That surely how selfish some people are. And he knew that he was sick. He still went around. With his wife and
he knew he was sick, but he didn't know he had coronavirus. That's how it starts off. You do know that. You're going to have the regular cold and so forth. Not until about 4 days or so, 5 days, they said, then you start feeling certain things. That, to me, is no different than, let's say, if, you know, you're sick, God forbid, in the beginning, you're just coughing, sneezing, but then your fever goes up even higher. At a certain point, when your fever goes up to a certain point, you're headed to the ER. So that's exactly what he did. So we can't really say it's selfish.
Selfish, but at the same time, lady, and that's a problem, because people are so scared right now. One cough, oh, my God, he got the virus. Right now we have over 3,000 people in quarantine right now, being tested because everybody's scared. One cough, sneeze. Like I told Sean earlier today, my son, he has an allergy. He sneezes. He's itching his eyes. Those are symptoms. He doesn't have the virus. But you cannot tell anybody that because everybody, like, automatically, you have the virus. You have a cold, flu, allergies, all going on at the same time. What to do?
And then you wait until something big happens, and then you start to see the worst in people actually come out. Now, how many videos have we seen on the news and on social media, YouTube, et cetera, of idiots going out there and spraying Asian people with Lysol, like that's supposed to do something? It's one thing that you have fear. It's another thing to be just outright racist and do really dumb, ignorant, racist things.
You know what bothers me with that? Also, Sean Black, with what you just said with that, the police officers already said that was not an incident of the coronavirus discrimination, blah, blah, blah. Every time it's something, it's always somebody being discriminated. You had 9/11 with the Muslim. Day to day, you have people that don't want to sit next to black kids, especially teens. They'll get up, you know, when they start seeing them acting up and so forth. So I don't know. It's really a level of ignorance too with it all.
Well, before I go to Kato and go to the next topic, my last question is: what does toilet paper have to do with this coronavirus thing?
Wipe your butt, wash your hand. That's what it got to do.
It's like, but you have people in supermarkets and other stores fighting each other, riot, buying toilet paper and water, stock it up. Like, really? We fight over toilet paper now? This
you sent me a video just, what, was it yesterday? Or you sent me a video yesterday of people fighting in a supermarket over toilet paper. I mean, literally, putting someone in a headlock and punching them in the head over toilet paper. I mean, this isn't end of day stuff here, you know?
Over the last case of toilet paper, Sean, got to be specific. That'll got to make it fight the last case.
It's
sad. It's sad, man. You've sailed on Nova. It's really getting ridiculous. Is this not Popeye's chicken on, I don't know, on Clorox wipes and stuff? It feels like the nonsense again.
Wait, so people are going to be wiping their butts with chicken now, I guess? That's going to be the cure?
No, I'm just saying the same stupid way they act about the chicken. It's like you're acting stupid with the last roll of toilet paper, last roll of Lysol wipes.
I just I just think people are using this. There's one thing to have a healthy level of fear that you don't know, because you usually will fear what you don't understand or know about. The problem is in the dispersal of the information from up top leads to a lot of fear down below from the other people that don't know exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then when they get mixed messages based on what they hear from the top, instead of getting the information from the people that would know it best, which would be doctors and scientists, lab technicians.
Well, you know what? When people listen to the media, and you know what? When the media says, boom. Like I said earlier, you need an announcement from MTA to tell you to wash your hands. Really? Something we should be doing all the time already? But,
this is something that we all taught when we were children. You're supposed to continue to do that. But as I will say this, anytime you go to a public restroom now, I see more and more people washing their hands instead of just walking out of the bathroom. I've never seen that. Usually you can count on at least three or four people when you go to the bathroom. They go in, and then they walk out. I'm seeing some
people actually
in line to wash their hands.
And how many of them touch the door after they do that? How many of them touch the door? And then they got to go back and wash your hand. I hope y'all know don't touch the door. Take your tissue paper, open the door, throw it in the trash.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? Oh, my goodness. You know, the world right now has gone mad, and it's like panic is all over the place due to the coronavirus. As a matter of fact, even this morning on the train, I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but it's kind of empty now because a lot of people are wearing masks. People are going into panic. And like you said about the whole toilet paper, I mean, people are really going crazy in the market nowadays. I mean, you can't even go anywhere without, you know, people getting into a panic mode. And as a matter of fact, and to quote what Lady T said about the ignorance and prejudice, people are like, oh, I don't want to go into anywhere Asian. And even right here in New York City, some of the local politicians are going into Asian areas and saying there's nothing wrong with the businesses. There's nothing wrong here. But it's like the media is even hyping up more of the madness and the panic. It's doing all of that.
Well, as we discussed about leaders earlier,
Don't get me started on Orange Boy, because Orange Boy is not doing anything.
No, we're not talking about Orange Boy this time. No.
Oh, good.
Orange Boy has nothing. We're talking about the two remaining guys in the Democratic Party.
Okay.
Because the last week Sean Black called me, he was crying that his boy Bloomberg has dropped it out of the race.
Right.
They were upset about that.
Don't even get me started on that. They got nothing to do with that.
Oh, my goodness.
But to Lacey first, we discussed this over social media. In the beginning, it was like, 50 people running for president, give or take. But we had different races and ethnic groups. Well, black woman, white woman, a gay guy, Asian guy, and black guys. We had everyone. But for some reason, it's narrowed down to, even though there's still a lady in the race, which we don't know why, and that narrowed down to two old white men. Are you shocked that instead of moving forward, we're still going through the same old route of older white men in this presidential race?
Are we really? I mean, why do you think just because I'm a woman, I should vote for a woman? Or just because I'm a man, I should vote for a man or a black man? Listen, last time we had a black president, a lot of black folks, y'all wasn't happy. Y'all wanted a black president. You voted him in. He did a great job for the 8 years. That wasn't enough of y'all. He didn't do our reparations. He didn't give out free stuff. It's enough is enough. It's about what the people are going to bring to this country. Right now, this country is in so much disarray. You need someone to bring back ethics, period. So I don't know what's going to happen, but something needs to change.
So do you think any of these guys could be a better person for the job? Well, I should say a better man for the job now?
Either one of them can be, especially that they're more experienced than our current president that we have. As far as many years in Congress that they've worked. Listen, everybody to me that was on that Democratic ticket was very, very, very much able to be a candidate. They qualified in my eyes. You're going to be down to your last two. That's normal. It's a race, right?
Well, you're surprised that it's two white men, two old white men.
Not at all. The world, you guys are not ready to listen to a woman you don't hear when we speak. Y'all not ready to hear us. Yeah, exactly. Just prove that. Y'all are not ready. Men are not ready to hear from us. And then when we're in charge, we just took your masculinity the moment we're in charge. So this world is not ready for a woman president as yet. Sorry.
Well, you know, to your point, Lady T, I can't believe I'm saying this overall. Well, you are right, but me and my guys at work was talking about this, but at some point we did like Elizabeth Warren, and we believe the woman, having a woman president would probably be better for this country than having a man president, because we see around the world women leaders have stepped up their game and handled their jobs compared to some male leaders. It's all about the ego and being masculine. Like, my guns is better than your gun.
Yeah, but we see that with our current administration, with what you just said with the egos, and that's my point. They're not ready.
Yeah. And Sean Black, I know you're still crying about Bloomberg, like I said, but put it to the side. And what do you think about the last two white men that's running for president?
Well, this is part. Well, the people that actually looking at the remaining two are going to look at it, instead of saying that they're old, they'll use the other flip word and say, oh, they have experience, they know what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you look at the fact that of the three people involved, President Trump and Sanders
I'm sorry, to your point, what about the other people, Cory Booker, you know, they're younger guys too, Andrew Yang, they're experienced and they're younger. So
that leads to my point in being that Biden is the youngest of those three, and Biden is what, 74, 75? The same people that Bernie Sanders, who, because you know his movement eschews younger, a lot of the younger people that go in there. One of the reasons why he wasn't winning these primaries is that same group of young people, they didn't vote. That's one of the reasons why he lost a lot of these primaries. And Biden got a lot of that momentum back. And he was left for dead like 2 weeks ago. And Super Tuesday happened. And he's right now the front runner again. I think when you look at the current structure of our politics, it eschews towards white men. It seems to always be the case. Men in general. And as Lady T just stated, this country has not and probably will never fully act as if they are ready for a woman. And all intents and purposes, we've seen in different places in different countries around the world have had women prime ministers, presidents, governors, etc. The United States still has not had a woman. And there are lots of strong women that are there that can be on any ticket, Republican or Democrat. And usually what ends up happening is the same foibles and nonsense that comes up. There was some sort of scandal, some way to smear this woman instead of looking at the person's policies, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we do need better candidates, and they are out there because no candidate is perfect. But based on the way this system is and the way society has always been towards women, if a woman can't still get equal pay for doing a better job than her male compadres, then why do you think that women still haven't gotten the equal opportunities as far as being president or being voted in as president? So that same mentality.
Oh, I can't argue against that, too. You won this round, Kate. I mean, Sean Black. But,
and I think today is the National Women's Day, isn't it? By the way,
it's actually Women's
Month.
It was yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yesterday? Okay.
Yeah, it was yesterday. The sad reality of it is that I could agree with everybody on this, and I'll just add my saying. The problem with America and, of course, with women leaders is too much of, like Lady T said, the male ego, and also, my opinion, the sad thing is that America's not feel that women are not fit to lead. And that's crazy, because women have really stepped up their game in terms of business, in terms of science, in terms of the arts, in terms of sports. You see women becoming more and more, showing more leadership. So why not elect a woman president? What is the problem? Are you scared that she's going to be a better leader than a man? That's my opinion. They're scared of it. A lot of men are scared of it. Well, and you have some women, women who doubt the fact that a woman could be a good president. I could see a woman becoming president, and a damn good one, too.
So, I know I posed this question a long time ago. What do you see happening first in future times? A first gay president or a first woman president?
Unfortunately, it's going to take a while for a woman to become president. But, however, when it comes to a gay president, you got to remember something else when it comes to the LGBT. You know those Christian evangelicals who are very judgmental when it comes to that. They would rather, I think a woman will become president before a gay president.
I don't think either. I think it's both on the same stance because you have a group, just like you said, the Christian evangelicals and so forth, and then you'll have certain other religions that'll say a woman should not be in power, a man is supposed to be the person in power. So you'll have that division among certain groups that will vote or certain people with their religious beliefs and so forth. So I don't see either, but I need somebody who can handle the job and who has human principles, because what's going on now, I don't know. It's been hate for the last 3 years, 3.5. I don't know.
It's been insane. We've seen a lack of leadership and a lack of control, because look at what's going on in this country. I mean, it's just been topsy-turvy ever since.
Okay, Sean Black, anything you'd like to add on before I give it to Brother B and curse everybody out?
I think that where the change has to happen is with that same group of people that we've been talking about, as far as skewing toward the younger crowd, because those are going to be the ones that are going to have more voting time on this planet than some of us older people that are now in our 40s, 50s, 60s. The younger group in their 20s and their 30s are going to be able to have more opportunities to try and get this thing right. That's provided that our democracy continues to function the way that we know that it's supposed to.
Right.
That's what I think will have to happen.
Brother B?
Greetings and salutations, everyone. How y'all doing?
Hey, Brother B.
What up? So, what y'all talking about? What y'all talking about?
The bottom line is, Brother B, for the Democratic Party, was like the 50 people that we have running for president, we have black women, gay guy, Asian guy, and now we're down to
the bag.
You know, we don't want. Yes, exactly. Are you shocked by that? It's down to two old white men.
No, never that. Never that. No, it's to be expected. I mean, when y'all, I came in when y'all was talking about the whole woman thing. Listen, man, you got to be a sucker to really. You know, or somebody, and I could be wrong, but I just got to come from the way I look at it. I was a mama's boy. You know, I have respect for women. I don't need to have to, let women rock. Like, I don't understand why there's this highlight on women when women been running the show. Women been running the show, whether they were in the spotlight or not. Women been running it. Listen, real men, you do anything for your mama. You do what you need to do for your woman and hold down your household. You do what you need to do for your daughters. It's not to say that we wouldn't do the same for our sons, but when it comes down to the women, it's different. There are still some men out there that are in that mentality of we are the protectors. We have to protect our women. But then there are other dudes out there who just like, I don't care. I protect myself. And that's the American way to me. That's the American, European attitude. That's what they have. They're more concerned with themselves, their machismo, whatever the hell you want to call it, and their woman will always become secondary. I mean, I'm sorry, but I have to say it. But as I was brought up and from our
history,
or I would say our culture. Woman is always queen. Yours is special.
Yes,
your woman holds you down. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your rib right there. So, listen, don't get me started about the fact that we should have
we should have
stayed segregated. We should have been rocking with these cats. We would have had our own shit going on and everything else. I just see it like this. Yo.
Okay. No problem.
We respect our women. I don't have a problem with a woman president. It is what it's going to be, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, but they've been running the show.
So before I move on, I want to.
I'm sorry.
AT, I've been protecting you forever, so you know I still have your back, AT. I'm saying that
you
for
don't
the
protect
record, okay?
Nothing. How many people I had to jump for your butt? Cut the
crap.
I had to put on my boxing gloves to defend you.
I'm sorry, but I kind of believe it too. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you brought up the jump topic.
This is not even a joking topic.
This topic really pisses me off. I call Sean right after and we talk about it. So our listeners around the world, this is like a local Brooklyn thing. But if you have seen the video, it will make you angry and upset. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, like Lady, she jumped me back in high school. I got jumped by a couple guys.
I did not jump you. I defended you probably. Stop that.
Okay, thank you. She's defending me like six blocks away. Well, besides that, there was an incident of a girl being robbed. Normally when someone gets robbed, you get robbed by one, two, three people, give or take. But this young girl, 14 or 15 or 16, I forgot the age, got attacked, jumped, kicked, punched by, I'm taking a wild number, guess, 15 or 16 teenager boys. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, not one or two boys, 15 kids, teenager boys, one of those young girls. And Sean and I thought, like, there got to be more to the story because, like, it doesn't make sense, you know, overall. We couldn't believe it 100%. Like, we're not saying it's right, but, like, who does go out to attack a girl and take her sneakers, a debit card, and why will overall, guys, in your opinion, will this attack happen? And a similar attack happened again over the weekend where a 26-year-old woman got attacked by 10 guys. Is this going to be a new trend going on right now?
Listen.
Sean Black.
I've started, you've probably heard me say this in private when we talk about what's been going on in New York City and in the tri-state area. And I made the assertion that in some instances, it's starting to remind me a lot of the late 80s and the early 90s.
Same thing.
And what is starting to happen now is that you're hearing more and more, especially minority children and minority kids in the city that are coming up with the disenfranchisement of not having parents in the house or having parents that don't give a damn about the kids or letting the kids go and do whatever they want. And then when you hear something happen, then what do they have to do? They have nothing but time on their hands. So what do? Go out in the street and hang out. Apparently, from what I've listened to, that there was a possibility that this girl was in a fight with somebody earlier in the day, and this jumping was retribution for that. Irregardless, it doesn't take 10, 15 guys to beat up on a 15-year-old girl. That's ridiculous. Or a 15-year-old boy. It wouldn't make a difference what the situation is. What we now have is that we have teenagers in this social media YouTube era that don't really give a damn about themselves or the repercussions of what their actions may bring them because they're not thinking past tomorrow. They're thinking about, well, what am I doing today? Let's go rob this girl. Let's beat her up. Let's take her debit card. Let's do whatever we can to make her feel as bad as humanly possible and maybe put her in a hospital. Now, what would have happened if this woman, this young child was killed on the streets and the security cameras caught the whole thing? What would have happened then? We know a lot of these people are already going to have issues going forward, but I believe they got, 8 of them were arrested or in custody, whatever is the case.
Yeah.
I'd like to see these guys try to get a job going forward and see how easy it is for them to try to make money to mm-hmm. support their families when they're on tape beating up a 15-year-old. It makes no sense.
Lady T?
So first thing, same thing that Sean Black said, I thought about the late 80s when I was in junior high school and people were going around robbing you for your Jordans and things like that. Kids have to know that now there's cameras every single
everywhere.
Place.
Mm-hmm.
Parents
everywhere.
Need to start sitting down with their kids, even if you get a minute a day, who cares? And because I know a lot of parents work 2-3 jobs. But these are things that you have to talk about because these boys can be facing some crucial time right now in the juvie prison system. And that's not going to be nothing nice because they're going to go in, they're going to regret doing this, but they're going to come out totally different people. And it's really, really sad.
That's provided
really
they actually get out.
Yeah, and this is depending on what
out.
It is. They will get out. They're going to
get
time,
get
but
out.
that time doesn't equate. You're going to totally change, and I'm not talking about change, mm-hmm. In a good way. I may never do this mm-hmm. because it's a lot that you endure while you're in that system. So it's very, very sad, and I think parents need to start talking to kids. Do not follow crowds. Do not do this. Be your own person. You don't need to follow them. I didn't see not one of those kids say, you know what, stop, no, give me her shoes, don't do that, or anybody regret it and walk back from that video footage and say, you know what, I'm sorry or anything like that, or help her and say, you know what, I don't want to be part of this. And now the parents are embarrassed. It's really sad.
To your point, AT, before I go to K-Dog, that's the problem. Whatever they don't listen, if you try to teach them or talk to them the right way, what else can you do?
You have programs and things like that. I think our days, we grew up in a great time where you had mentors, whether it was your neighbors, your friends, your uncles, whatever the case is. You even had mentors as far as teachers. They need to get into certain programs, and there are certain adolescent programs that are coming back now for kids from junior high school to high school that need guidance, especially junior high school. They are lost. You guys don't understand how lost they are.
Yes.
Watching that tape was just disgusting because you see these boys, I mean, jumping a girl, that's the bad part about it. Jumping a girl, boys jumping a girl, stomping her out and robbing her, that was the dumbest thing ever. And for them, it was like a joke. It was a joke for them to do that. You could see them grinning on camera, carrying her sneakers and laughing about it. They left this little girl traumatized.
Yeah.
I mean, her parents were very much upset, and even community leaders even took a stand and said, people need to take responsibility for this.
You know, those same community leaders you're talking about need to start signing off on those grants to get these after-school
mm-hmm.
programs, to get these things for these idle time.
Whoa. Whoa,
so they
want to
fight
that,
for the community.
Whoa.
You guys are set in place for that. Let's find it.
I'm sorry.
That's what you need to do.
I'm sorry, Lady
and
T. I
another
disagree.
Thing, too, another thing,
mm-hmm.
I heard from
I'm
what
sorry,
I
Lady
spoke,
T. I disagree with that.
I agree with you 100% with that one. And also something else too. The parents of those who did this, they're the ones who took their sons to the precinct to report to bring them in. Some of their parents said like, I don't know what my kid is doing. That's another problem. You don't know what your kids are doing outside. You don't know because, like you said, many of them work different hours of the day, so they're not home. They're not at home, so how could they know what their kids are doing?
Why do you disagree with me?
Well, because if you take money from grant, if you take grant money away, you're taking money out of their travel expenses and robbing us all the time. You take the
what do you mean?
Money away like
that's that? That's not what the grants are in place for that. They have grants specifically for that
yeah.
millionaires sign off on. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
For
I know that, but you know they're crooks, too. They're crooks. Also.
Yeah,
they could be.
I don't think so. Some of them, that's their hard-earned money, and they want to put things into these funds, but the city needs to look into it, sign off on it. You've noticed when we grew up, we had after school programs.
Of course,
what's that thing
yeah.
that we had? We had tons of things
yeah,
to go to.
We had plenty of after school programs, but those programs unfortunately were taken away due to budget cuts.
They have been cut, and money been put into other places. Do they care about the black community? You go into certain other communities, they certainly have that. I teach in some of those communities, and these kids live lavish off of these grants.
You know what? Tomorrow, Lady, I'll talk to you about that off the air, about, you know, other communities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it too loud on the air right now.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Well, Brother B, go ahead before we go to the next topic.
I mean, all I can say is I do feel that a lot of stuff that's going on nowadays, entertainment, even the correctional facility in the system, they glorify jail. They make it seem like it's okay. These kids have no fear. They think that it's a hangout. They think that they go there, they're going to meet up with their men. They're protected.
Mm-hmm.
They join a gang. They do this. They get three hops in the cot. They got the library. They got this. They got that. They got weights. They get to smoke cigarettes. They can basically do what they want to do. I remember one time I had a conversation with this dude from Africa. And he said, man, I don't know what's going on in this country, but I don't like it. And let's start with how jail is. He said, where I come from, in jail, you lay on the floor, and they give you some bread and some water and a couple other little things. And that's that. Over here, you get a bed. You get treated well. You get the best medical.
Free cable.
You get all that good stuff. So why should they have a fear? Especially if you have some of these jackass rappers that come out and glorifying jail. And of course, these companies they make it okay. It's okay. Some of these parents, they even condone that shit. It's okay. Like, you know, some of them even wear, like, oh, my son had to go through this, or my son or my daughter had to go through this. It's not a badge of honor going to jail. So that's why they have no fear. So this is why they have no issues in terms of dealing with any type of recourse. That's why they do what they do. And until somebody come out there and start breaking their little legs or popping the shit out of one of them, then all of a sudden things are going to be, whoa, 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 hey, but you're going to blame the parents.
Hold on.
Listen. Listen, you have a daughter, just like Lady T has a child, a daughter, and I have one. Son or daughter, it don't matter. Somebody touch your kid, it's war. F the system.
Give it.
So, I mean, we can have that conversation some other time, but what's real is real. The system can say one thing, but your emotions and who you are as a parent says something else. And every one of those little-ass kids should have got something broke or somebody should have took a goddamn finger off. Because I bet you they'll learn then. I bet you they'll stop then. When they turn around and go dig up their goddamn snotty nose, they missing the finger. I bet you they'll know then. And that's all I got
to
say.
And to Brother B, here's my question of the week to you.
All right.
This is Marriage Proposal Part 3. Let's say, Brother B, you and I have been doing it for a while. After you, us for once, you know, I can't pick on Sean all the time. Brother B and I have been dating for a while, 3-4 years, whatever. And Brother B, you think, you know what? I'm the right person in your lifetime. You go out, get the ring, and you know, right in front of JT and Sean Beck and K-Dog, you pop the question to me. I got surprised, I crying, but I tell you no, I'm not ready. From that, Brother B. Yeah, I know, it's so funny. If someone to turn down a proposal, is the relationship over, or do you have doubts in your mind about the relationship, or you know what, that person just needs more time?
I mean, me personally, how I would take it, the relationship wouldn't be over. We would definitely have to have a talk. But, I mean, I don't know why people get scared of this whole marriage thing. I'm sorry. I look at it one way, it's just paperwork. If you're solid in your relationship with the person that you're with, then that taking that step, that paperwork don't matter. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter at all. You two are one regardless. If y'all are in sync, y'all are in sync. You don't need anybody's paperwork or government or anybody to tell you that this is what you are legally. What you are spiritually to me matters way more than what you are on paper. But like I said, it's nothing changes. You know what I'm saying? Like, what should change unless the other person wants things to change? As far as I see it, nah, nothing changes. We still rock. That's it.
Oh, okay. Lady T, Sean, K-Dog, who wants to go first?
I'll let all the guys go first. before I clean
y'all
up.
Oh, Sean Black. Sean Black.
Yeah, she always talking about cleaning something up, man. Yo, man. Do a chicken sandwich, man.
All right, you got to take the best for that, y'all.
He's waiting for the moment.
With extra barbecue sauce.
No, nah, I'm just teasing y'all, though. But no, seriously, I want y'all to go ahead, though. I'll go after.
But go ahead, Sean Black.
That's an interesting question. I think that one of the things that a lot of people...
I'm sorry, Sean Black. What is your gut feeling? I know what you want to say, because you're a little sensitive bitch. What is your gut feeling?
Well, my gut feeling is that it's not, the relationship isn't over. My gut feeling is like, whoa, that's a kick to the chest. But I also think most people in relationships, depending on how long they've been there, if they're actually paying attention to the other person, they have an idea if they've gone to propose and they're refused. They might have a reason why. I don't think it was going to be a super shock unless the person is cheating on them or doing something behind their back and then they're trying to question the relationship. I think most people get into this mindset kind of like what you see on TV, where if they're refusing the proposal, there must be a giant reason behind it, and like they're sleeping with 18 different people, and that might not be the case. Maybe it's just not the right setting. There are women that don't like to be proposed to in public settings. Maybe they want something a little more private. Maybe the fact is they're not into, you know, you. It could be a number of different responses and different things. But as far as the response goes, it has to depend on what's in that relationship and what you think is the reason why. And like Brother B just said, that's a discussion that you have to have. That doesn't necessarily mean that's a death sentence for the relationship.
Mm-hmm. All right. And K-Dog.
Does it mean that the relationship is over? Not really. Because sometimes a proposal is a huge step. And sometimes the person might want to take some time, you know, or they don't feel like they're ready for that step yet. But however, it's some people that feel that way. But that's just my opinion.
And Lady T.
So I don't think the proposal should be over, but I do think it opens up areas for conversations because the person could be, let's say, scared. Maybe their parents went through a divorce. They don't want to go through this or whatever the case is. Or maybe that guy shows inconsistency and they don't want to commit to this long-term inconsistency while you're still working on yourself. It could be many factors. You have inconsistencies when you're dating, and this is technically long-term dating because you're not married as yet anyway. So maybe they want to see certain things change with you, or maybe they want to change certain things within themselves before they finally commit to marriage, or it's really a discussion for both of you to have. Do you even really want to be married? Like, what does marriage mean to you? Because it's not just the paper. That paper is there, yes, but it's factors to it, especially if it doesn't work out. Now you have divorce, and that's the real paperwork, if you ask me. But as far as that goes, I think
there's another reason. There's another reason you could throw in there. What if the guy is doing it just to take the woman off the, you know, just she's off limits now. She's done.
Yeah,
put in the,
that's true.
I'm claiming this, and then has no inkling of actually marrying the person. They just
you want to know something about that?
Done.
Hold on, Brother B, because you want to know something with what Sean just said. You actually have that while people are dating. You have guys that will, you know, they're dating you. They'll string you along. They'll ghost you for a little while, but they want you in their life and things like that. You get things like that. So you also have these things in long-term relationships as well, because us women, we think, okay, he's going to change, or I need to change also, and I'm working on me. There's many factors. I don't think any of it is negative. But if you propose to the person, I think they turn you down. I've gotten proposed to and turned the person down 2 times and then finally married them afterwards, you know, because I was not ready. It was not something I wanted to do. I see my parents separate. That made me fear marriage and so forth. So it's like there's factors to it. And I think that's when it opens up for even deeper conversations and you can grow from it even more together.
That's where the communication part comes in that you've always heard me talk about. You got to be able to communicate so that you will know that you don't get to that point where somebody is on bended knee and the other person is saying, please. You don't
know. No, but if you get to that point, you don't think you could get wedding chills, guys? You get that as a female.
Yeah.
Even though you spoke about it, you can still be, I'm not ready. I'm just not ready.
Listen, I'm not ready. Everybody know that. Well, Brother B, go ahead.
On what note? On that?
I don't know. It seemed like you was about to have something to say today. giving it to you.
No, I'm just saying, listen, man. It is what it is. I don't see what like I said, to me, if your relationship is solid, whether you choose to jump that broom or not, that's totally up to the individuals involved. But I just see it as paperwork, a legal binding contract. That's all it is. To some people, it means more. To some people, they see it as it is. But I really don't look at marriage like that. Like, if we're together. And that's just that. I don't need anyone to officiate it and tell me this is what it is.
Okay.
I'm an individual. I let my heart dictate all that. I let who I am, my soul dictate that. I don't let anybody else say it is what it is. Like, some of these people, they go to these marriage counselors and have somebody, are you ready for this? And it's like you're planting doubt, seeds of doubt in some people's minds. I don't believe in all of that, man.
Let me twist it up a little bit for you then, guys. What happens if you go to the father, to the men, you go to the father, ask for the blessing to propose to the daughter, and he says no. What do you do then? Do you continue? Or you go back and tell the daughter, he said, I want to propose to you, but your father told me no. Okay, dog?
Father says no. And I love, and I truly do love this person. I'll do what I can to talk to the father. And if he still refuses, I'll still propose to the daughter. Not to be disrespectful, but I don't even care.
All right. You're looking for trouble, Sean?
It's going to also, I would like to think that the relationship is between that male and that female.
Thank you.
Whoever
that's
it is.
That's the answer
and
I was looking
most
for.
People, although it is a plus to have mom and dad on board, you're not going to be living with mom and dad going forward.
Exactly.
That's what the case is. The hard part about that is, I mean, obviously there's certain circumstances involved that things might change or evolve depending, but the gist going in is that the husband and the wife are going to be together and nobody else except whatever family that they bring into the relationship. And if although you would like to have dad's approval, mom's approval, that does not necessarily mean that that should be the end-all death knell of the relationship.
Okay. Brother B, 2 minutes left. Still thinking about it.
I think you really hit him in the chest with that one.
Yeah. But, okay. I don't know why it's to Brother B, but okay.
Brother B is out picking out wedding rings right now.
Interrupted
his wedding ring picking out.
I think he is going to propose to me after all. I'm honored. But besides that, guys, what happens if family trying to influence the daughter? You know what? He's not the right guy for you, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that annoying inside the relationship as well? Yes, maybe so, Sean Black. A minute left.
Too many people in the pot. That's not their relationship.
Exactly.
Plain as that.
True. Well, you know, of course, the person will listen to their parents, to the family members first, right?
Well, that's understandable. But the bottom line is, it's going to be what it boils down to. That male and that female are going to be the ones in that relationship. You can get input from other people, but they're not going to be the ones to dictate what happens going forward between man and woman, woman and man and man, woman and woman.
Right. And it's about the parents respecting the boundaries. They might be not with it, but they'll still love you. They'll still wish you well and things like that. I've never seen anything wrong with that. I think too many people need to stay out of other people's relationships, period. Mm-hmm. Even when dating, mind your business.
On that note, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for a great show tonight. Lady T, send me a glove to my place so I can, you know, do some measurements and everything. Thanks so much. Have a good night, everyone.
Good
take
I'll
care.
I'll get you the ring, hot rod. I'll get you the ring.
Of course,
will
the pleasure
marry?
Of all is.
Indeed. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, y'all. Peace out.